Okay. We like to record these because we put them up as MP3s on our website, and we run a very economical ship, so we just use freeconferencecall.com. I'm not trying to advertise for them, but it doesn't cost anything. Any of you who, it'll fit into our conversation, because any of you who are getting started, you need to get your team together and probably should have these little weekly or biweekly conference calls with all your partners. Someone just joined? Okay.
Yes, this is Andy from Opportunity Link in Havre, Montana.
Great. We got a couple people from Montana. That's great. Let me tell you a little bit about HMTRI. Last week we had a really special guest. Someone just joined? We had a few people join. Do they want to announce themselves?
Hi, April from Zender Environmental in Alaska.
Okay. You're the only cool person in the room, I'm sure. We're all hot. Hot here in North Carolina anyway. Well, let me tell you, and the people who are familiar with us know all about us, but there's a lot of new people on the call. We're HMTRI, and that stands for Hazardous Materials Training and Research Institute. We got started in Iowa, where GLOW resides, in 1987, and we've been working with EPA on a whole lot of different projects originally in technician training, and we do a lot in environmental technology. There's an organization called ATEC, which we're part of, which is a large NSF-sponsored organization dedicated to environmental education and training. And we're also associated with PEAT, Partnership for Environmental Training. And that has to do with the NIEHS training program, primarily health and safety training. The HMTRI EPA effort is a collaborative effort. We're under a cooperative agreement with EPA. And what we are basically helpers, helpers to communities. We basically do not speak for EPA. Anything we say has no policy bearing, no authority. We're sidelined. So we tend to be very frank about what we say, but it's strictly our perspective. And it's just our opinion, so you really need to take whatever is said in these PLCs as a grain of salt. What we're really trying to do is help communities either establish programs to improve their programs if they've already got a program going. If they're running very well, we try to help them with their sustainability and either get additional EPA funding or launch with some other programs, either federal, state, or local programs, to keep their programs going. Our mission is basically to put community people in jobs, in environmental jobs in particular, and the things that we can do to help that happen is what we do. And again, it's a cooperative agreement. We do train in health and safety and other programs, but we don't have a brownfields training program. We're a third party. We've been doing this since the beginning of brownfields, actually since 1987 or so, in different aspects. So we're very familiar with the 256 grants that have been awarded since 1998. There's been about $54 million of these dollars worth of grants, and about 10,000 people trained. So we get a lot of information, and our main mission is collaboration. These little calls, they're 30 minutes every 2 weeks, is an attempt to get people talking to each other. And sometimes it's difficult to get everyone talking on the phone, but it's a mixture of discussion. It's a mixture of just instructional materials. It's a combination of those things, and also presentations and showcases of grantees, which some are on the call and will be asked to showcase their community and what they've done. And the attempt is for all of us to learn. As long as we've been doing this, we're learning something all the time, a new technique, a new strategy. I call them landmines, things that you have to avoid, how to write a better grant, how to write a grant, how to, if you're an existing program, how to help make sure you can get the best out of your program and get re-upped. I call it re-up, being refunded. If you're just starting a program, things you may want to know about about this program. You may decide you want to pursue it. You may decide this is something over our head right now, and you may want to hold off or develop your resources another year. These grants have been since 1998, have been awarded every year. Usually RFP goes out at the end of the year, November, December. Sometimes it's delayed depending on the workload at EPA. Sometimes it's delayed till January or February, but they try to award them in the springtime so they can get their program together and start training in the fall of that next year. So this cycle that's going to be coming up will be November, December, perhaps January, depending on EPA schedule. You'll have about 3 months to develop your proposal, which I'll talk about in a second. It's not enough time. They'll be awarded in the spring for beginning of your delivery before the end of the federal fiscal year, which is September. So we're talking about training that will be delivered starting next fall. Not this fall, next fall, and they're 3-year grants. The first 2 years are the power years where we do a lot of training, and the third year is kind of a wind-down year. Well, we start these PLCs we have a little agenda we go by. We start off with news from Washington. We want to keep you informed on what's going on, what we know about in Washington. Again, this is fairly informal and pretty much kind of off the record. We just know what we find out and pass it on. So, Glo, do you have any news for us this week?
I do have news for you, but not from Washington. I talked to Joe this morning, and he didn't have anything new to share. But as always, he wanted me to give everybody a reminder that if they have not yet registered for the National Brownfields 2015 Conference in Chicago in September, it's September 2nd through 4th, get registered as soon as possible and plan to attend. It's a great conference. HMPRI, Mike and I and Bruce and probably Doug File will be hosting a booth in the exhibit hall. So if you are there, stop by and see us. You can leave with us any handouts and or anything that you would like to have distributed to whoever at the conference. The other thing that I wanted to talk about was this year's annual Environmental Job Development All-Grantee Meeting. It will be held August 19th and 20th. Again, we're going to be in Alexandria, Virginia, so it's easy access for EPA headquarters staff to attend. This is a meeting where all of the current funded EPA job training grantees meet with their regional job training coordinators and with staff from EPA headquarters. And PLC members are also invited to attend. So if you are an active PLC member trying to get a job training grant, this would be a great opportunity for you to come and network and learn from the grantees that have job training programs now. So if you would like to attend that, there is no registration fee, and through a cooperative agreement that we have with EPA, we are able to pay your lodging expenses for 3 nights. You would be responsible for your own travel, but we can pay for your lodging. If you are interested in going to that, email me at ghanne@eicc.edu, and I would be happy to send you an invitation. Or the invitation is also on our Brownfields Toolbox website. And that address is brownfields-toolbox.org, and the invitation is right on the homepage. Also, about that meeting, I heard quite a few people on the call today that have already registered for the meeting, so I just want to remind you that we are collecting everybody's presentations and program information. We are not going to be distributing the normal 3-ring binder that we usually have done in the past several years. All that information is going to be compiled and put on a flash drive and distributed that way. And Mike is actually going to be putting those flash drives together. So if you haven't sent him your information yet, he needs that by July 29th, which is also the deadline for making reservations at the Holiday Inn Old Town Suites where the meeting will be held. Let's see. The other thing I wanted to mention that is if you're on this call but you're not receiving notices from either Mike or me, please send me an email. Again, my email address is ghanne@eicc.edu, and we can add you to our distribution list. Mike sends out reminders for these PLC sessions, and he also sends out post-session notes. And I do the I just got a happy month. I do the listserv, and so we send out notices there, too, that's from HMTRI and also from EPA. I think that's all I have, Mike.
Thanks. Globe mentioned some of the things that we do as HMTRI for the communities, and she mentioned the toolbox, and we put these in the notes, so you don't have to worry about trying to jot these things down, but the toolbox and the address of that will be in there. We do the annual all-grantee meeting every year. We usually do it in Alexandria, and this is the absolute, in my opinion, the absolute best meeting to go to if you're either existing or prospective grantee. You have to get there, but once you're there, we cover most everything. We cover the hotel. You may have a couple meals, but we do have snacks and things there also. But that is attended by not only all the principal regional coordinators, but also by EPA staff and also by all the grantees and alumni grantees, and we break out into small sessions just to exchange ideas. And so that's a great, and it's only for people and communities trying to establish environmental workforce job development programs. Now, the EPA sponsors with ICMA, the Brownfields 2015, and again, that'll be in the notes also. And that's about 3,000 or 4,000 people that'll be assembling in Chicago. And that represents all aspects of Brownfields. And that's a great program to go to, particularly if you're an existing grantee. The reason being is all the employers are there, and it's a good place to go to some sessions. There aren't a lot of sessions this year on job training. There's an EJ session and a job training program that Joe Bruce will be heading up, and we'll have those in the notes of what's going on at that meeting also. But it's a great meeting to go to if you want to connect with employers, insurers. It's a whole realm, lots of exhibits, all about Brownfields in general. But specifically, if you're trying to start a program or have a program, I would certainly recommend our program in Alexandria. It's just a couple of days. And, you'll talk to I don't like to mention this, but if you've got a speakerphone on, if you can mute your call, so it's a little easier for everyone to hear if you could do that. I appreciate that. We try to keep our lines open, but sometimes when you get a bunch of people on the call, you get background noise. So, well, we've got that out of the way, and we talked about, of course, what we do. I don't mean to be this as a sales call of what HMTRI does, but we do the PLC, we do the annual grantee meeting, we do the toolboxes. We also do some mentoring or collaboration in terms of new communities that need some help. We try to put you in touch with people that might be able to help you answer questions. So any questions you might have, particularly if you're a new community, you might want to email either Glo or I and ask questions. We put them up on our listserv and try to get answers for you. We got on these calls because what we want to do is collaboration. We have a combination of, as I said, people who are thinking of setting up a program, not sure yet, don't know what it's about, you know, just getting their feet wet about what is this program. We've got people who have been with us for a while and they decided to submit proposals. Some were accepted and some weren't. Some have tried really hard and were not accepted for funding. We have some who are very well-seasoned programs, and we like them as mentors, and they can give us great tips and contribute to the group discussion. We also have some grantees who are going to be re-upping, I call it. They may be coming towards the end of their grant, their 3-year grant, and they're thinking of submitting next November. And things have changed in EPA and as far as these grants go, and it's good to find out what others are doing. The competition has gotten fairly steep, so it's good to find out what the current thinking is. And then, of course, we've got awarded grantees who just got their grant, and now they're saying, what do we do now? I mean, we our wish came true. Now we've got to deliver. So we're addressing all these audiences, and that's okay because all of them have the same, pretty much the same issue. Let's talk what we wanted to do this week. And Kathleen Curry had such a great presentation last week. It was more of a welcoming to everyone. She's the regional coordinator in Region 4, has been with this program just about since the beginning of it, gave us lots of hints in terms of how to write a grant, what to expect, a lot of information on what happens after you got the grant. We felt it would be worth this call to just kind of reexamine that, but put it in our own words unofficially and what we kind of took away from it. And a lot of that was in the notes from last week. If you didn't get the notes, you could drop me a line. You get these notes and say, please send me that. But let's talk a little bit about the takeaways from that. And the takeaways I found from that was there is such a small difference between those who are funded and those who are not funded that it's really kind of problematic, both for the experienced grantees and for new grantees. There were 19 proposals funded out of about 50, I think 49 total, that qualified, that were eligible. About 8 of them were new, and about 11 of them were previous. Not all were re-ups that continuous. Some had not been funded for a year or two and then went in for funding and were funded. So if you are a community that's thinking of submitting a grant, and there's not a hard fact rule of how many are accepted and how many aren't, and either the dispersion of these grants across the country, there's no set rule. But we seem to think that it seems to be that about half are new and half are old. We observe there's always a tribal and rural are very difficult grants to not only to obtain but to perform. And many are governmental organizations. Some are community colleges. Some are nonprofit organizations. So the chances of acceptance or rejection is it's a very narrow scope between the best and the worst. It was only a 6 or 7 point difference. And my takeaway from that is your grant writer, and you hate to say this, but the grant writer is just so important in this project. We've had PLC members and people that we've mentored who really had great programs together, great partners. We've had ex-grantees. We're doing a great job. And when I saw the list of those that were accepted and not accepted that you had re-upped, it really pained me because these were really good programs. They really had their act together, but they weren't funded. And the conclusion I came to had to be that these programs were not able to demonstrate in words, in their proposal, all the really good work they were doing. It's the only logical explanation I could give for that. You've got to whittle 50 programs down to 19. And you've got to use some kind of criteria. And the criteria they use is the RFP and the request for proposal. Now, the time to start preparing, one thing about these programs is you can't write this in a month. You can't write it in 2 months. You can't turn it over to the grant writer and say, oh, there's an opportunity here to get $200,000. Let's go for it. It won't work. And the grant reviewers see right through that really fast. So I think many of those proposals were proposals that people tried to do in a month or two. But you need a very good grant writer that is involved in the pre-planning and knows everything about not only how your program works, but how EPA evaluates these programs. The EPA Environmental Workforce Development Training Program is not like many other grant programs. Many grant programs, you get the money and then you go off and do your job. pretty much the EPA one, what you've got in that grant is your basically your program plan. It's your work plan. Now, after you get the grant, you have an opportunity, an obligation, to sit down with your project officer in the region and say, this is our work plan, and if it deviates from your proposal, you've got to get permission to do that. So what it's telling me is your proposal is basically everything you're going to be doing, your partners, your curriculum, your labor market assessment, your employers. You've almost, and in some ways it's kind of unfair, you almost have to have the whole project done when you write your proposal. You have to have that whole, almost like a toboggan run, you've got to have the whole course laid out before you even start or before you even consider it to be start. And I think one of the problems that many people have is they have a vision, but they haven't locked it down. They haven't dotted the I's, crossed the T's, and the grant writer, who may or may not be experienced or may not be familiar with the way EPA evaluates these, writes a great grant in their perspective, but it does not fit this particular program because these grant reviewers are looking for answers for very specific questions. They have to be as objective as they can because they can't come out to your program. I wish they could come out and visit everyone's program and talk to them and sit, or even have a conference call with them because it would tell them a lot. But unfortunately, all they have are words in front of them, 15 pages, and some backup pages. And they have to somehow decide that you can do this or not. And if it's not in there, they're assuming you're not going to do it. So this puts so much emphasis on preloading these programs. So you've got to have your whole program laid out before you start. This obviously gives an advantage to people who are already doing this, the people I call the re-ups people. If you've got a good program and you've been doing an excellent job for the last 5 or 6 years, you would think you've got a slam dunk into this grant. Well, what happens to them is their grant writer isn't up to, I don't say, they're probably excellent grant writers, but they are not up to the writing this grant as EPA wants them to write it. And so you've got this excellent program that doesn't get refunded. The new programs, the problem they have is they've got a general idea of what they want to do, but they don't feel, well, I can't do this until I get the money. And EPA is saying, well, we want you to lay everything out before you even start. So you've got to have your, you know, what are you going to do for training? What's your experience? So, you know, who are your partners? How are you going to leverage it? What, you know, exactly what did you do in your labor market assessment? So all of these things have to be answered. So the takeaway from this and what Kathleen was basically telling us is you've got to start really, really early. And clearly, this stage, where we're at now in the next month or two, anticipating this come out at the end of the year, you have to kind of sit back and say, ask some really general questions. Is this something we want to, do we want to get involved in this? And it might involve conversations with the mayor's office. Are you interested in job training associated with environmental job training in your brownfields? You want to pay visits to your brownfields people. And it's easy to find them because you can just call the dean or find out your Department of Environmental Resources and find out who's in charge of their brownfields program. You're going to have to do this anyway. And we're talking in the embryonic stages of planning if you're a new community. So do you think that there is room here for doing a job training program? We may have an opportunity to get some startup funding, $200,000. To get this program started. You basically don't want to make commitments. You want to get a feel. You want to talk to your employers. You want to say, are you interested in getting people with 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 certifications? And we're talking about things like HAZWOPER, lead, asbestos certificates, confined space, general construction, all of those, pesticide management. Do you think that there's something, and now we're talking about several thousand dollars worth of certificates. If they have business in your community, they'll probably say, oh, wow, I would like to look at these candidates. They don't have to commit that we will hire your candidates. They have to say, we're interested in looking at your candidates. So then now you're starting to get your pieces together. Does it look like we can make something go of this? Is there interest in the employment community? Is there interest in the governmental community. Now you have to start looking at potential leverage partners. You have to talk to your workforce investment board and say, you know, are you all interested in supporting us or helping us? Are you interested in partnering with us? You need their help because this is only $200,000, and the Workforce Investment Board could provide all kinds of assistance to your participants. And if they're qualified under TANF or one of the labor programs, you could get supplies for them. You can get all kinds of assistance that EPA won't support, health care, might be child care, transportation, supplies, all kinds of things. And they may say, well, we'd like to partner with you. Or they may even say, we might go in as the principal. And this is the next step that you've got to do. Again, we're talking about the embryonic stages. Who is best to do this, to write this? And we get back to my original blunt comment of finding the best grant writer that you can find. And we're talking about finding someone who has had federal grants, preferably EPA grants or labor grants, someone who is familiar with working in local government. And we've got many local governments that have applied and received environmental workforce grants. You may be the active principal in the program, but you may not be the one to write the grant and or be the fiscal entity that does the accounting, does the legal, because there's a whole lot of involvement there in terms of being qualified and getting your training for receiving federal funds under the SAM program, it's System for Award Management, and handling all of those things. You may be an enabler or an instigator or even the principal person involved, but you may have all the legal work being done by the city. Durham was a good example. Is Durham on the call today? Okay. Is anyone out there that's a state or local agency? Do we have anyone on the call?
Nye County.
Nye County. Now, are you doing everything, or are you submitted the grant, didn't you?
I just started about a little over 2 months ago.
Okay.
But getting into it now, we do everything, the grants, the reporting, the financial. We do have an environmental engineer that handles some of the projects for us, but I believe most of it's done in the county.
But the nice thing about that is you've got the fiscal people. You've done federal grants before. You've done EPA grants. Nye County basically is a re-up that you have received funding in the past. So when you get into writing this, responding to this RFP, you've got people who are very familiar with this program. But you're going to be involved in this program very intimately in making this work. So these are kind of the structures we see around the country. Some, they do it all in-house. We have organizations like OAI out of Chicago. It's a nonprofit, independent. They don't necessarily need the WIB. They don't need the state government, but they're a very strong training organization, and they're one of our stars in terms of our grantees. They do everything, but they've submitted federal grants. They've got an NIHS grant. They've got an EPA grant for several times. They're very experienced in doing this. It's very difficult if you're starting out and you just decide, well, we're going to be a startup. It's very difficult without these partnerships and assistance to go forward. And it's something to consider in these very early stages. As I said, we're at this point in the process looking to see the feasibility of, do we want to do this? Or if your grant was rejected, you may want to look back and say, maybe we didn't do this properly the last go around, and maybe we have to come back and sit and reevaluate who we're partnering with. One thing, once you establish your partners, you're kind of locked down. You may want to come back and say, okay, I'm starting over. We're going to look at this November RFP, and we're going to see who we want as partners, and maybe we want to evaluate or reevaluate who's going to be doing what in terms of submitting this grant. And we do have our team kind of together. We may want to reorient our team. In later PLC calls, we'll talk about very specific things that have to be done. If any of the new people who are totally unfamiliar with this want to, when I say RFP, or request for proposals, and you're totally out of, not sure, well, what does that mean? We could send you last year's. You could just respond to me when I send out the notes and say, could you send me a copy of the RFP from last year? They don't change that much. A couple of years ago, they added pesticide management. They might add one or two of the other program offices, but basically the questions are the same, and in all likelihood, what you're going to have to respond to next winter will be the same thing. So it'll give you a real good idea of what you're going to be going through, either as part of your re-up or as part of your grant. And one of the things that we learned is also is, and this is a something that's difficult to overcome. We ask you, or EPA asks you, to get all your partners together, your leverage partners, develop your curriculum, and you don't even have the money. And to some extent, it's kind of humiliating to say, to go out there and say, we go to City Hall and say, we're going to go for this grant program. You go to the employers and say, we're going to have this program for training, and you're going to be able to hire these people and get all these certifications, and you go to your trainers, and they're all ready to go, and then you submit a grant, and you don't get accepted. And then it's very humiliating to go back and say, we didn't get the money, and you put a lot of work into it, and you have not gotten funded. And that is a very difficult thing, and it would be nice if everyone could get funded. There just is a limited amount of money available. What the only response that we could give to this is, because you don't get funded in a given year doesn't mean you're never going to get funded, because this is a reoccurring program. And as we said last week, and Kathleen emphasized, if you don't get funded, you need to go to the regional coordinator. Regional coordinators are just so important. You want to keep, even if you're thinking now of developing a program, you want to contact the Regional Environmental Workforce Development Job Training Coordinator and say you're thinking about it, because they could probably give you some hints of where to go, where you get some information, or what they know. If there's other programs in the area you may want to contact, they'll help a lot. And everyone will tell you, if you don't get refunded or funded, get the reader notes and get a debriefing, because they're going to tell you what's wrong with your grant. And as I said, in many cases, it's just a poorly written grant, very blunt, that you may have all your ducks lined up. You've got great partners. You're doing great work, but it just was a poorly written grant. Now, I don't know what the answer to that is, other than search for someone who's really a good grant writer. I hate that these grants are allocated that way. We like to think that the best programs will get the money, but it's just not. They're evaluated by what's in writing, and so that's after you get the reader notes. Many times it's because you didn't answer a question correctly or didn't answer a question, and with only a 6-point spread between those who got it and didn't, and many of them will say, "I missed it by a point. I just missed it by 1 point." It's that grant writer did not include something that you probably may be doing, but it's not in the grant. And as if it's not in the grant, it's not happening. So you're not going to get that grant. So in future PLCs, we're going to have other people talking, so you won't have to listen to me all the time. But did anyone have anything to say about their grant writing or their grant experience? Any questions?
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
We submitted twice before we got funded. This is Angela for Pathstone. And the conversation that we had after the submission of the first grant really made a huge difference in what we did in the second grant. And we knew what they were looking for. And I don't think it's that unusual for people to get funded after the first submission. The only thing is you have to watch the changes in the RFP after you have your debriefing.
One of the things that Kathleen said this last week, or last PLC, was don't resubmit the same grant. And that's exactly, you're kind of reinforcing that. But you made a good point, Angela. It's almost like you have to throw one out there to get rejected to know what you need to do the next time. And congratulations, by the way.
Oh, we're so excited. They're doing the press conference. The EPA in Puerto Rico is doing the press conference today.
Politicians love this. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
And you know, it's something. You know, you're in Region 1. Region 1 and 2, they're very political regions. I mean, we did a workshop up in New York, and we had the. I mean, we've had mayors we actually had the press come in and doing videos, and I mean, great photo ops. The congressmen love it. Everyone loves job training. So, again, congratulations. I hope you're coming to the annual grantee meeting.
I'm not, but the folks in the field are.
Great. Good. That's really good. Did anyone get rejected that really is bummed out? I mean, and want to just quit? We've talked to a few, and it breaks my heart when they don't get funded, because I know these people and they're good and they got great programs. And the only thing I could say is what Angela just said. Don't give up. Just try again. And you got rejected twice. Now it takes a very tenacious person to say, okay, I've been knocked down twice. I'm just going to keep on going until I get this. And I think that helps also. I think, you know, the same reviewers, and I don't know for sure, but they have a group of reviewers, and I would say they tend to get their regional coordinators and some other people, and the same people tend to. Now, we've had a lot of changeover, but a lot of the same people review these grants year after year, and, you know, I don't doubt behind closed doors, I might say, well, you know, they got a good program. They're really trying hard, and if they've got this kind of enthusiasm, maybe we ought to help them out.
Well, the other thing that you said that I wish someone had told me 3 years ago was that you can't write this in a few months. There's an expectation that you've had all of the activities that they expect you to have done before you submit the proposal, it's almost a year's worth of work.
Yeah, you're right on. You're right on. And people don't understand that, and they really don't even believe it. But it is, and we'll talk about this in the future PLCs. Getting your partners together, I mean, getting your coordinating meetings, making announcements in the mayor's office and at city hall meetings. I mean, this takes a long time. It really does. It really does. Well, we do try to keep these at 30 minutes so that it's not a big burden on anyone. But our next session will be on July 15th. We're in the summer season. But if you're going to be – and we'll send out PLC notes that will have all this stuff about the meetings that are going on. And if there's a grant opportunity that's not necessarily a job training EPA opportunity, but maybe a labor or something, it might be something you could leverage, we'll put those in the PLC notes. Same time, same place on July 15th. Anything else?
Yeah, I got a question. Hi, this is Houston from Omaha, Nebraska, North Omaha Contractors Alliance. When do the awardees, when do that come out on email?
This round, the awardees have been announced, we can send you a list of those who have been announced. Who in North Dakota, is there anyone on the line that's awarded? I'm just looking through the list of grantees. I think closest to you, we got Montana and Oklahoma, Rose State. We'll send you, actually, at the, are you, if you're coming to the annual meeting, we have all of the grantees at the meeting and their contact information, so we can, in fact, we can get you an updated list of those people can contact them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just would like to see who all was awarded it and, you know, contact them and talk to them a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Help them out. St. Louis Community College in Missouri. I'm thinking of who is nearby. I'll get you a list of people that might be nearby so you can get in touch with them.
Okay.
Thanks, Houston.
Yes, thanks.
Anyone else? Any questions? On the future PLCs, is there anything that someone would really like to hear about? We have our own agenda. We just, as topics come up, we will either have a relevant topic or we'll have one of our grantees showcase their community and tell us about what they're doing. But if someone has something they'd particularly like to hear about, like labor market assessment or just more hints about writing this grant or whatever, just let us know. Okay. Well, until mid-July, I hope everyone has a happy 4th, and we'll talk to you all then.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Everybody.
Have a good day.